You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It's Friday, November 10th, and we're talking Marlins baseball. We bring in Marlins reporter for MLB.com, Joe Fusaro. Joe, thanks so much for taking some time. Certainly an interesting and exciting time to be a Marlins fan these days. Derek Jeter now running the show down there in Miami, and plenty of buzz surrounding the team. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, obviously, when you buy a team, you want stability going from ownership on down. Don Mattingly is under contract as manager, but there was some question as to whether he was going to return and be back this year. Has that question been answered as far as you're concerned?
Yeah, I think that was answered about mid-October when they signed the rest of the staff, his coaching staff, save a couple of people from the staff that aren't going to return that weren't renewed. But, yeah, Donnie's status, he's under contract. He signed a four-year deal a couple of years ago, finished year two. He has two more years remaining. He had met with Derek Jeter, and I don't think that one was ever really in question. I mean, I think normally if you're going to come in and make a move for the dugout in the clubhouse, you make that move probably the first week or two of the offseason, you know, especially when you're a non-playoff team and the team coming off two straight losing years under Donnie. But, you know, to me, that was really a non-issue, and it was good to have Donnie back because he brings continuity. The coaching staff did a really good job. I mean, if you look in a lot of categories, they did well offensively, defensively. They came to play every night. They were a hard team for, you know, even when things were down. They created fits for contenders. You know, their deficiencies was pitching and their lack of depth, and when injuries kind of caught up to that department as well, you know, I think, you know, that was kind of the downfall of the season. But the fact that, you know, Stanton played hard all the way through, Ozuna, you know, they had a lot of guys that really stepped up and played hard for Don Mattingly all year. So I don't think that was ever really going to be something that was going to change.
Absolutely. He brings that stability, no question about it. Guy, though, that there is a question about, the most prolific player in the team and one of the most recognized dynamic players in all of baseball, Giancarlo Stanton. A lot of rumors, of course, surrounding him now going back several months. I'll ask kind of just a blunt, basic question, Joe. You know, why, when you take over a team, if you're Derek Jeter, why would you even think about trading a guy like Giancarlo Stanton? Why would that be in the thought process, and where does that stand now?
Well, it kind of stands, it's kind of twofold. I mean, Stanton did what I kind of certainly thought he can do and what many in baseball thought he can do. If he stayed healthy, he could challenge some legitimate home run and power numbers, and he certainly did that. That said, he's 28 years old now. He's been here 8 years. His contract's set to really escalate to $25 million next year he'll make, and he has $295 million in the final 10 years of his contract. And the question and the only reason why he's in play to be moved is he's ready to win, and does this team, you know, to get where they want to go, how are they going to acquire the necessary pitching and organizational depth to seriously contend? And I think those two timelines have kind of passed each other, where Stanton, his value will never be higher. I mean, if you're going to trade him, now's the time, because, you know, if he has an injury plague, let's say 2018 season, and he's making $25 million with 26 to follow and so forth, you know, then they're really going to be on the hook. So I think it's a combination of a player that's, you know, shown he's ready to be one of the faces of the sport. He already is. And the team, I don't think, is one pitcher away from contending. So it's, you know, he may have to go unless he wants to buy into being part of, you know, kind of a rebuild of some form. They don't like to use that word because they hope to, you know, make some noise next year. But I think that Stanton has kind of made it clear that he would prefer to be on a contender right now. And he's, you know, the last few years, they were hoping to have been to a, you know, over 500 and more series in a playoff contention. The team has failed in that regard. So that's why I think you're seeing Stanton out there right now. And I anticipate he'll be traded, whether it's this, you know, this winter, whether it's July, whether it's next winter. I think within a year, I think he will be moved, and be a sad day for the Marlins. But you kind of get it in terms of how to rebrand and build this franchise and create payroll flexibility, which may enable them to keep Real Muto, Ozuna, and some others long term.
59 home runs, as you mentioned, that's a pretty good time to sell high and bring back some pieces if that's what you want to do. So no question that that would be the time to do it. The time is now if they want to. And you alluded to Marcell Ozuna right there, Stanton and Ozuna, the first two Marlins to win Silver Slugger Awards in the same season. That was awarded last night. And if Stanton were to be traded, Ozuna already in his own right is just a tremendous player and being recognized more and more. But he kind of becomes really the face of the franchise if Stanton is moved. Is that a role he's ready for? What's the leadership qualities that Marcell shows?
I think he checks off a lot of boxes. You know, he's a guy who has really, you know, in the last 3 years, and I've covered this team since 2002, is probably made the most improvement of any player I've ever covered on this team. And we all knew he was immensely talented, but we didn't know he was this talented. I think kind of that light switch went on, and he realized he's pretty good. And, you know, he had a monster season. And, you know, if it wasn't for Stanton, you know, he would be, you know, getting all the credit and praise in Miami as kind of the guy. Now, could he also be moved? Yes, absolutely, because, you know, the team is open to whatever trades they feel are necessary. But he's 2 years remaining under arbitration. The salary will probably be go from like $3.5 million to about 10, and that's still, if you're going to hit even 30 in 100, you know, he had 37 and 124 RBIs, I believe, this year. You know, it's still really big production, and at any time, this guy's going to have a market. You know, I think even as a rental, this guy would have a market. So I think you could kind of keep him all the way through 19 and see if you're where you want to go. And now that doesn't mean that, you know, we're already seeing the A's that interest. I know the Cardinals have had interest. You know, they touched base last July, and I think you could go down the line on pretty much any team in baseball looking for a right-handed power bat, which would have made a phone call to the Marlins about Marcell Ozuna. So he could be in play, but I think if Stanton is moved, I think Ozuna will stay, because I don't think this is going to be a complete redo or reset. I don't think they're going to flush it all out like they did back in 2012, going into 13 with all rookies. I think they're going to kind of retain as much as they can and see how many pieces they can, you know, bring in through either these trades. Plus, I think they're going to do a lot more internationally. I think they're going to really focus a lot more on player development. So I think he's a guy. And also, I mean, look at the market we're in South Florida. It is a heavy Latin American-influenced market. He's a very popular player from the Dominican Republic. And, you know, everyone talks about the buzz at Marlins Park at the World Baseball Classic when the DR played the United States. And I think that he fits there. And I think he really likes Miami. Now, he has Scott Boras as his agent, but I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility that the Marlins would try to keep Marcell Ozuna and sign him to an extension.
Yeah, just 26 years old. He also complete player, obviously, as you know, receiving his first Gold Glove, playing left field for the first time in a full season and getting a Gold Glove. Pretty remarkable there. I just want to switch gears for a minute, Joe. A tough topic that baseball's been going through this week. Just very sad news, and something the Marlins organization, you know, went through last year with just the very tragic death of Jose Fernandez, and now baseball loses Roy Halladay at the age of 40, dying in a plane crash this past week. Just your reaction, Joe. Obviously, baseball, the outpouring of grief, support for the Halladay family, just a difficult time, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I've been blessed to have covered 5 no-hitters in, you know, since covering the Marlins. The second one was Roy Halladay's perfect game against the Marlins over at the old ballpark, you know, in 2010, I believe. And, you know, obviously a fierce competitor, a guy who I've interviewed in the past, and, you know, your heart's just broken and you feel so badly for the family. And, you know, the more you read about him, just a really special guy, and we all know it. And yeah, it does hit home, and, you know, Miami and the Marlins fans and baseball world when Jose passed, you know, in his tragic boating accident at the end of the season in 2016, you know, 2 different situations, you know, and Jose being 24 and just launching his career, and Doc having retired and, you know, building a Hall of Fame caliber resume, both hurt, you know, very much, you know, for the sport. And yeah, there's just way too much grieving, you know, that's gone on. It's a sad reality that, you know, it's a fragile existence? Do we do have mortality? And accidents can take can claim us at any time. And yeah, I mean, it does. I immediately kind of thought about Jose and all the pain that went through. And you know, last year at this time, anyone kind of connected with Marlins, we were about a month or month and a half removed from Jose's death. And me personally, that grieving went on kind of all the way to spring training. There was just, you know, just a kind of an emptiness that you felt waking up every morning. You really, you know, covering him, knowing Jose when he got drafted all the way through his first few years, and you know, building a rapport with him. That has a lot of levels, and I can only imagine, you know, what the Blue Jays and the Phillies family and the baseball family, and obviously Doc and his family. You know, it's just terrible news. And the one thing I will say after reading the statement by the Halladay family, I said, what an uplifting and courageous statement about, you know, a celebration of his life and a public memorial. They seem to be a very, you know, driven, focused family on, you know, living to the fullest. And I always, you know, I just wish them all the best. And kept happening, you know, with the Halladay season close to starting, that even makes it even more difficult. But you just kind of want to take a moment and just remember, you know, just how special these people are, and just hope all for the best.
Absolutely, Joe. Well said. And if there's, you know, similarity in some way, you kind of hit on it between Jose and Roy. It's just the way they conduct themselves and the energy they had and positive belief and work ethic. And many people will follow in their footsteps in years to come. Joe, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thanks. I'm Darwin Zook, and thanks for tuning in on MLB.com Extras.